Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Booth Man Prime.
Happy belated
Thank you all so much for coming out. I'm sorry to start the show on a little bit of a downer, but we got some bad news this week that we wanted to share with you all. We were nominated for the Podcast Awards
this year,
for our podcast Riverdale After Dark in the TV and film category. It was Sunday night for International Podcast Day. We were, all three of us were together. We had all all the regular International Podcast Day decorations were up.
Yep.
We had the tree.
Every year.
We had the tree up. Yeah. We were just waiting, and we lost.
Yes,
we lost to Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres.
And
I know. Our nemesis.
You gotta feel good about that.
You feel good about it?
Yeah.
No.
She's
had her hands around our throat for too many years.
Do you know, we started this show 13 years ago, and she's like, oh, I'm starting a comic book podcast.
Exactly, and that's what beat us.
Yeah, it's weird, because she was like, hey, everybody, welcome to my comic book podcast with three guys.
Yeah.
We're like, you're one woman.
Yeah, that's, wow, okay.
yeah, that took a turn. But I'm super happy to lose to her. She's a class act and an amazing lady. And
you're a huge Ellen fan?
Oh, huge Ellen fan.
Really?
Yeah,
maybe
never
we should name two of her albums.
Whoa, wow.
Albums? What are you talking about?
She's a comedian.
Yeah, I know. I used to watch her stand-up on Comedy Central back when they used to just play like stand-up sets.
Comedy Central, that checks out.
Yep.
good job.
Yep.
What are some of your favorite bits that she does on her show?
The stuff she does with Average Andy is great, you know.
Wow.
Does he actually know stuff?
I think he does know Ellen.
Yeah, I do.
I know she does dancing, right?
She comes out and starts dancing.
What is happening? You guys are not
a little bit of this.
This is what she does.
Hey,
she,
you guys listening
you guys
home
all
on
right?
our podcast enjoying
she
this?
She is a DJ.
What is happening right now?
I'll tell you what, Alex.
I've got Stop it.
For those of you.
No, it's just like Ellen.
Yeah.
DeGeneres.
For those of you who didn't just see Alex dance, I guess.
Sure.
It's like watching, what do you think, like a squirrel perish?
I was
that's what
like,
I was going for.
Like
so
I thought it was like a bunch of squirrels in a human suit.
That could be. And yeah, it's like someone dropped a piece of acorn into a human suit.
I'll tell you
what.
This is a true story. I have one of my formative experiences. I remember as a kid, I was walking home from junior high school. And as I was walking along, I looked down at the sidewalk and I was like, that's where the sidewalk is moving. And I saw it was a dead bird. And I was like, why is that dead bird moving? It turned out it was full of maggots.
That's what you were just doing.
I looked out and I was like, and that's dancing.
That's dancing. 100 maggots just trying to become flies. That's you. That's you, my man.
I didn't think you could make it more awkward than you guys did.
Yep.
Anytime.
Oh, I'm sorry we're not Famous Andy or whatever you said a minute ago. We're not super fun like that.
Well, anyway.
You know, he thinks he's the Ellen of this podcast, and he's always been
that
way.
Going on? He is constantly trying to surprise me.
That's true, and that's fun about Ellen. That is fun.
Well, congratulations to Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah!
You run a great podcast.
Ellen DeGenerate.
Oh.
too far. That crossed the line.
Great.
That was
do we have a show that we're going to do, or are we just going to keep doing bits?
Bits.
Okay, cool.
We have an amazing guest on the show tonight. He's been on the show before, and he is back in advance of a New York Comic Con. He's the creator and artist, of the amazing comic book Canto. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Zucker!
Welcome back, sir. Have a seat. Have a microphone.
Dance however you want.
Yeah, dance your way to your seat.
Oh, yeah,
seat.
Here we go. Woo! Yes! Yeah. What?
Oh,
that's
God.
What we always do.
Oh, I know. It's like if a kite broke off its string and was in the wind.
Uh-huh.
Or there was a balloon in front of a used car lot that was just blowing air.
Don't ever knock that guy. That guy is so talented.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He's amazing. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Congratulations on the nomination and congratulations on the loss.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Really appreciate
that's
that.
Fucked up.
Kanto, though,
yes.
is great.
Fifth issue
is coming out tomorrow.
Yes.
You talked about it on the show before. I don't know how many people listen to that show necessarily, how many people out here necessarily know it. Do the brief pitch for the book, because it's wild.
So Kanto is about a small little tin man who's part of a race of tin people,
right.
They're enslaved. And when they're born, their hearts are removed, and they're replaced with clocks. And Kanto, who his people aren't supposed to have names, he's obviously the only one that does, he ends up going on this adventure to save his girlfriend whose clock gets damaged, and he tries to find her heart. So he ventures out into the big bad world, and shenanigans ensue.
Oh, I love those shenanigans. when you first came on the show, I think it had just launched. It was just about to launch.
Issue one came out the next day, I think.
Right.
Nice.
You had a pretty big response, though, to it.
Yeah. Bigger than we kind of anticipated.
We were talking about this backstage. You took it to San Diego Comic-Con, and lines around the virtual block, right?
Yes. Our jaws kind of hit the floor.
Wow. Mm.
The response to issue one was extraordinarily positive.
A lot of tin men and tin women?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. They were just asking where the oil was. The response was great, and the reviews were all great, but when you're seeing all this stuff, it's hard to kind of process it. So we figured San Diego was kind of going to be the first time we would get a real sense of how it was doing based on the response we got at the signings. And we sat down, and the line didn't stop, and we kind of couldn't wrap our heads around it. The exclusive we did sold out in the first 20 minutes of the show.
Wow.
Oh, that's
yeah,
so
it
cool.
just flew out of there.
Congrats, man.
They're like the
Thank
Ellen
you.
Of San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, right? This guy's bigger than Ellen DeGeneres.
I have the Converses and everything.
Again, another thing about Ellen that I don't know. To study my enemy a little bit more.
Yeah.
If you had Converses, you guys probably would have won. Matching.
Okay.
Matching. All
let's
three.
Not look at. Let's man. Not examine the loss. I think we've already covered it. Pete's a traitor.
So now that you're five issues in, there's one more issue after this.
Yes.
Right? And then you're wrapping up the series. Are you going to collect it in a trade, or what are you thinking at this point?
So the plan is right now, if you come to IDW's panel on Friday, shameless plug, there may or may not be information that is shared at this panel.
Ooh. I'll tell you what. Yeah, exactly. It sounds like there is information. I'm just throwing that out there.
Very subtle.
Yeah, I know. Subtlety's always been my best trait. But right now, issue 5 will come out tomorrow. Issue 6 will come out in November, early November, I think. And then the trade is slated for March. So that's what we're working on right now.
Nice.
Very cool. So going into New York Comic Con, though, do you feel like because San Diego was so successful, what are your expectations going into this?
Oh, tough question.
Yeah.
Our expectations are high, but we're trying to keep that. We just assume nobody's going to show up. Like, yeah. We're assuming San Diego was a flop or like a one-off.
A fluke.
A fluke. There you go.
Yeah.
At some point, I'll figure this out.
No, it's the opposite of a flop. There's a huge win.
You know, we figure it'll do well. But that's us managing expectations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you never want to get yourself up high and then just get knocked right off. So
New York's a tough town. It's not like San Diego. It's, like nice all the time.
Listen, that was my first San Diego. I got to tell you, I've been to a lot of New York Comic Cons. It was the least stressed out I've ever been at a show.
Wow.
Really?
At San Diego.
It turns out San Diego is really well managed as opposed to New York, where I'm tripping over people.
Wow. Yeah. There's too many fans here.
San Diego doesn't let people sit on the wall. They keep them moving.
It's true, nice. True. So your plans at this point, you're going to be at the IDW booth most of the time, right?
Yes. Thursday, I will be at the IDW panel on graphic novels. Friday, we'll be at IDW's panel on the last 20 years and going forward. Friday, we're signing at IDW. Sunday, we're signing at IDW. Saturday, we are cramming all of our incentive cover artists into Philip Seavey's artist alley table, which I'm sure we're all going to get thrown out of the show for.
Nice.
And then Saturday night from 5 to 6, we're signing at a booth called Planet Awesome, which is a shop out in Arizona, I think. But they have been huge supporters of us, and they did their own print run with their own cover. They're going to have it at the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's very cool. Yeah. I've always wondered about this. Did they reach out to you and say, hey, we're looking for guests for our booth? Did you reach out to them? How did that work?
It's a mix of things. It kind of comes together last minute. But we reach out to them and tell them, hey, we'll be at the show. How would you like to use us? And they'll basically ask you, what days are you available? And you tell them what days, and they come back to you. Oh, okay, well, we can have you sign this time and this time. And then on an individual basis, panels are worked out.
Oh, very cool.
Now, other than the turnout, what has been like the thing that people have been telling you about the book that was, surprising or you were really happy about?
We had a bunch of people connect with this in like a really visceral way. Mm-hmm. I won't get into details about it because it's personal information for these people, but
Social security numbers.
Exactly,
and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love this book because my social security number is 143.
A lot of identity fraud going on this book. Nice. It's awesome.
I got to tell you, that line around the block, I don't think they're looking for signatures.
No, I don't think so either. But we had a few people with like medical conditions, and this never even occurred to us while we were making the book, but people who have, congenitive heart diseases and all these, diseases that where they are potentially missing pieces. And it, whether you can see it or not, people tend to be very self-conscious of that. Am I broken and am I not like this complete thing because I'm missing pieces? I'm not like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And people with these diseases have connected with this character in a way that we just never could have seen in a million years. And that's probably been the biggest surprise. We've gotten a lot of like messages from people that were just totally moving messages about what this has done for them.
That's amazing, man. I mean, you're getting stuff and it's touching and moving. That's what a reason to put something like that out there, that you're really, not only is it selling well and it's popular, but you're really touching people's lives.
And like, that's the thing is we're not unaware of how lucky we are with this. This is the kind of project that people dream about, having this happen to their book, that their original character somehow connects with people in a way that is so intense that it just takes off.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've ran around in this industry for nearly 10 years, just kind of nose to the grindstone. I've done multiple books that I'm super proud of, but have not really gone anywhere or have been moderately successful. I'm totally aware of just how lucky we are. And it's been pretty amazing. And both myself and David are, kind of eternally grateful to everybody that's, given their money and their time to this.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So issue 5 out tomorrow on comic book stands everywhere, and then look for the trade next year as well.
Yes.
But track you down at New York Comic Con. If I wanted to see all that information in one place, where would I go?
You can go. Hang on, because I don't have any of my social media memorized, because I am not good at social media, apparently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, I know, right? At some point, I'll get my life together.
Let me guess. It's at...
You're good so far.
You're doing good.
Is it your social security number?
It is my social security.
Just tell us. Just say that.
Zero.
Start. I'll guess the rest.
Okay, go for it.
4. I got him.
The amazing Kreskin over here.
Listen, David Blaine, relax.
9, yeah.
So Instagram is Drew Zucker Art, and Twitter is... something Drew Zucker.
really memorize this. I don't want to tell you how to do your promo.
I'm going to say Drew Zucker art is guessable.
It is. Twitter is at Drew little underscore line Zucker.
That's great. Oh, hey, keep living off the grid.
I feel like we asked you your name and then you blanked on it.
Yeah.
I genuinely can't remember who I am 90% of the time.
That's fair enough. Definitely check out the book. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Let's move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, we do.
Love calling it that. In The Stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that we like this week, kicking it off with Black Panther number 16 from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Pete, you got a special Pete treat and got to pick two books in This Stack.
Ooh. Yeah, I did.
What are you thinking about Black Panther?
This is great. We got a, we have Black Panther, who's been in space. And Ta-Nehisi Coates is writing this, and he is. It was such a huge thing that he was doing, and then he, with this issue, they came back down to Earth, and it's great to see kind of everybody back on Earth. And there's just so many amazing visuals in this. In this comic, it was really the art is the real hero here, and it's beautiful and also really badass, kind of like the last couple of pages that I got fired up about.
Yeah, the art, by the way, is by Daniel Acuna.
Yeah. What do you think about, so the villain here has a symbiote.
Right.
What do you think? Another
enough.
Symbiote.
Enough.
Doesn't everybody have a symbiote at this point?
Everyone's got a symbiote.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Acuna draws a very nice symbiote.
Very goopy.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, writing is great. I am a little tired out of all the symbiotes.
You're burnt out on absolute carnage.
Ooh.
Absolute
symbiote. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
are
is...
Are you at maximum carnage?
It's just a lot. Everything is a symbiote.
Yeah.
This happens in comics.
Do you ask the question? Do you have an opinion on it, or are you just entrapping me?
gotcha. Bye, guys. Great show. I'm out of here. No, I agree. I don't think it's a purposeful thing. I think it's something that is very much in the Marvel Universe, and I think it's a great storytelling with Null and all of that stuff. Yep. So it makes sense. I was like, I'll add that to power up my villain and make him or her more powerful. And that's what happened here, and it just so happens that's... Cross the line happened.
Yeah. I do think there's, I'm forgetting which one it was. I think it was the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man, where Spider-Man flashed back to getting the costume, and he's like, geez, I really wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
And I felt that moment, because it was like, they were just giving him a new costume to sell action figures, and now it's everything in the entire Marvel Universe.
So if there weren't so many symbiotes running around in the Marvel Universe right now, and that showed up in the book, would you have been more okay with it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it is a very cool visual to have. I mean, I don't know. I'm forgetting what it's called. What is the evil Black Panther called?
It says right there, I think.
I mean, his name is N'Jadaka.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, him, it's a very cool visual to see an evil Black Panther who has like waves and cosmic rays blipping off of him.
Yeah.
So I guess that's good.
Cool. Glowing. Nice. I mean, I don't know. I also feel like, to take the other side of it, like, why we don't complain when it's like, he's got a power glove.
Like I'm sorry.
There's a lot of saying it's the same as any other thing. Like, there's another guy with that shoots from a magic gem.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's sort of what happens when you want to tie, 30 books a month together?
But I don't know. This doesn't feel like it's trying to capitalize on symbiote fever, which we all have.
Yep. I know I got it.
Yeah. I got diagnosed.
Yeah, Tylenol.
Take Tylenol? Yeah. That'll get
for the fever.
Right away. For the fever.
I crush up a little children's Tylenol for that.
Yeah. And snort it?
Yeah, I snort Tylenol every 2 hours nonstop.
Wow.
Don't even sleep anymore.
If you guys had a symbiote, what kind of, would it look like? What features would it emphasize about you? Because obviously Venom is a big mouth thing.
Yeah.
Well, what would it do for you guys?
this is going to be a giant.
It's just going to get good.
What giant what? What
a
was
giant
that?
Head.
A giant head?
Yeah, a giant, like, evil forehead.
I mean, first of all, your gesture, which was like, whoop, like that, that was my head.
Yeah, I think it would be just like very wild glasses.
Oh, yeah, probably like big glasses.
Nope. Yep.
No, you don't think so?
No, he would be like Mastermind, where it's got that giant, like, six head. It's not a forehead, it's like six.
Like
head.
A big forehead?
It's always like bubbling and shit.
Yeah.
Like he'd have a crazy forehead with teeth?
Yep.
Okay.
Nice.
That'd be horrifying. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Straight out of the thing.
Yeah, you'd have a beard with teeth.
Cool.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. This is great. I don't even want to know, but that got real personal.
It's like, I mean, look at that guy's fucking head. I have to look at it every week. It's big ass head he's got.
You piece of shit.
So okay. You should have led with that.
I thought it was pretty clear.
No, it wasn't.
It was not. It was leading into saying the word forehead. You said forehead.
Right. And then you said six head.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's more
once
than
it went
four.
To six head, we've escalated things.
Yeah. And let's just, if we were to take an informal poll, if the term six head is a compliment. Because I got to say, taint.
A symbiote taint?
I want a toothy taint.
Now we know what yours is. I'm glad I didn't have to say it.
My Simi would be like, oh, come on, man. I don't want to do that.
Bro, they don't have friends in space. Yeah. I just found this
That's
shit.
That's true. Symbiotes are desperate. They just want to piggyback.
Yeah. Well, I just want to watch 200 episodes of Friends and Simpsons. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Piggy butt.
Great. Let's move on and talk
beard,
about...
taint, head.
Yeah, what about you, Drew?
Probably just a giant asshole.
Okay. Wow, right next door to the tank.
Exactly.
Oh, what is happening? What is happening?
I can't believe we lost to Alan. This is prime content.
Listen, if Ellen were really brave enough, she'd be on this show talking about the taint.
I got to own up to something. On the last episode of Ellen, she had this exact conversation with Anne Hathaway.
I would actually very much like to see that.
I would
see
she
that,
said
yeah.
Anne Hathaway has a six head. She said that exactly.
And Anne Hathaway was like, no, I have a symbiote taint.
Is that
an Anne Hathaway impression?
I
don't know what she sounds
what
like.
What just happened?
Right out of the Princess Diaries.
You do your expert Anne Hathaway impression.
Yeah.
I'm Anne Hathaway.
It
was pretty good. That had a light touch to it.
Wow. Is the star of Devil Wears Prada here on the show tonight?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Listen, we all know in that case, Meryl Streep is the real symbiote taint.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm not sure about that.
You stay away from Meryl. All right. Batman Detective Comics number 1012 from DC Comics. Now, Batman is once again going up against Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze finally thinks he can unfreeze his beloved Nora. Things turn out a little bit differently. What'd you think about this issue?
Now, see, I feel like the other Batman title called Batman is getting so much hype.
Oh, okay.
You know,
thanks
about.
For clearing that up, because I wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things with the word Batman attached to them.
Wait, they make more than one Batman book?
That's what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. Same guy.
What? Wow.
It's like
my mind is blown.
I know. It's like two different windows into one guy's life. It's like if I wrote a biography of Pete and Alex wrote one, they'd be different, but they're about the same psychopath. In this case, this is the other Batman book. It's so much hype. This book is great, though. Detective Comics, Peter J. Tomasi. We're literally off the rails right now. Pete's mixing up the comics for some reason.
Very OCD with where they are, so I just thought I'd fuck with your six foreheads a little bit.
It's not six different foreheads.
Although that sounds
set up a little three-card Monty, bro.
Yeah, I know. You keep moving the order.
You figure out. Come on over here. Figure out if you don't wish comics switch.
It's comics, not solitaire.
Throw down some money. No big deal. Here we go. Okay, we're mixing it up. Throw down your money. Here we go. Watch the con. Watch the comic.
Another great visual gag for our podcast.
This is our best podcast. All right, go on.
Let me throw this out there. I think you rattled him off his game, Pete. Personally, he's a mess.
Oh, man.
He's wiping sweat off all six of his foreheads.
We've been doing the show too long.
No, I picked a good night to show up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're right in a sweet spot of our show. Let's see. This is the stack. Detective Comics.
Detective Comics. Right. Batman.
I think this comic is as good as a Tom King. It should be being read as well. It's just great. It feels like the Batman, the animated series, Batman, doing stuff out in Gotham City.
Well, there was some really nice Batman moments in this. Like, he stops to appreciate the snow, which was very touching. He's working out, getting super ripped.
We actually get the origin of snow in this.
Yeah.
Where it's just dust that has snow on. Freezes. Yeah, freezes. There you go.
What happened there? Did you, your
the
head
origin
just freeze?
Of snow? It's, is it snow?
The first page is the secret origin of snow.
Yeah, this book is great. Also, a shout out to Doug Mankey, who does the art, which
the art is really amazing.
So beautiful in here. I will say, Batman, a little too vady for my tastes.
Really? You don't like Jack Batman?
Here we go.
I have a problem
with
Jack.
Listen, we all like Jack Batman, but not with the veins.
Yeah, he just has like veins everywhere.
Dude, that's what happens when you're super Jack.
He's also very old, so it might be varicose veins.
Oh, yeah. This took a turn.
Hot take. Wow, big spoiler for the upcoming. Coming DC crossover.
Suddenly I know what Batman Annual is all about.
Yeah. What?
Batman Annual is going to be all about Bruce goes to get his varicose veins taken
checked out. I got some
and
lasers.
They're
going to
charge you $8.99 for it.
I don't have that kind of money.
Really looks 80 years old with all those veins. Huh?
Yes, he does. But otherwise, very good book. Last one we're going to talk about, Punisher Kill Crew number 3.
Yes.
Which is a comic written for Pete LePage.
Oh, man.
I cannot believe this book exists.
So let's just when Frank went to Vietnam, do you think at any point he thought, this is where my life is going to turn out?
Probably not.
Most Vietnam vets this has happened to.
I actually completely believe that.
Yes.
Agent Orange is a hell of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit what's happening in this book and show just how Pete-based it is. The Punisher is wearing a cool hat.
Yep.
And he's,
a helmet, you might call it.
Okay, that's the coolest hat. And his sidekick is a little guy named Foggy Nelson.
Hell yeah.
Who is doing just great Foggy stuff, like being terrified the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's flying in a van attached to a goat.
Hell yeah.
Very Pete thing to do.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I feel like that could be painted on your wall.
Or you could paint it on his van.
A van painted on a van?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's
blowing
sweet.
Mine. Yeah.
But what's nice is the van also kicks ass in this. You know what I mean? Like, they have like a whole, they're fighting a bunch of monsters, and then like the goat shows up and starts fucking people up too.
I gotta say,
I have to read this more carefully. Is that what's going on in this book?
There's a lot of that.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pete. The van is awesome. And let me rank the characters and how cool they are. Punisher.
Right.
Juggernaut. Yep. Very cool.
Yeah.
Goat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Van.
It almost should go like Punisher Goat.
You think so?
I was going to tell you, you still don't see
where he's going with this, right?
Yeah, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Foggy's way at the bottom.
At the bottom. Yeah. That's how it's going.
Yeah, I've been on the show before. So it's not my first time.
So you know. But not, you were having fun up when we were talking about the van.
No, I knew, even though where it was going, I was still
Dude,
having fun.
You're still having fun. Because that's what life is. You got to put up with the Justins in your life.
Yeah. It's fun at the top, forehead, all danger at the bottom one.
Exactly. Foggy's sort of down here by Alex's eyebrows. You know what I'm talking about? At the bottom, and then there's like 20 other things. Right.
This is where my goat forehead is.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, there's a delightful bit of this book. Not only is Foggy completely tortured the entire time, dragged from Jotunheim down to Earth, the Juggernaut cries and joins in their mission. Very sweet. And then my absolute favorite part of the issue, I'm curious to get how you felt about this beat, where Foggy, they're like, you know what we need? We need to get the Black Knight to help us out. That's what we need to get on our team.
He's got a cool sword.
Wait. Is this the same Black Knight that's the Brooklyn NBA team's mascot?
No.
Didn't Marvel design that one, too?
I don't think so. I would be very surprised
if that were true.
I thought they designed that one.
Huh.
All right, disregard.
Regardless, they're looking for the Black Knight. Faggy's like, I have a friend who can help us out. He calls it. We get the exterior of Avengers Mansion. You hear ring, ring, and he says, this is Daredevil. And then you see Daredevil eating a taco or maybe a turnover. It's not entirely clear. Maybe an empanada.
A turnover?
I don't know.
It's definitely not a turnover.
It looks like maybe it's an empanada.
What is the detail matter?
You know what? I got a little stuck on the empanada.
Yeah.
What is a turnover?
That's an empanada.
An apple turnover.
Apple turnover.
I don't know. Whatever.
You've never
whatever.
Had
this
apple
isn't
turtle?
The point. I probably shouldn't have even mentioned that. And Daredevil says, "Oh, hey, glad you're okay, Mr. Nelson. I was just looking for you."
Totally was lying. But,
right, totally lying. And then he says, "I was going to say the same thing. Do you know where the Dane the Black Knight is?" And it cuts to this wide of all the Avengers sitting around having sodas and empanadas, one I would assume.
Oh, they're eating turnovers.
He says, "Why would I know where the Black Knight is?" Very funny diss from Daredevil. How did that make you feel, Pete?
What? He doesn't know where the Black Knight is. What is how was that?
He's completely dismissive of Foggy in that scene.
He doesn't care about his
even,
friend Foggy.
He didn't even realize that Foggy was missing. Yeah, he doesn't care about his interest. He's just way into
it's
his
empanada.
It's
upsetting, but also...
sorry, empanada or apple turnover, I'm not sure. Yeah.
It's upsetting, but it also feels like Foggy kind of knows that a little bit, and that's why he's kind of
Foggy
like,
doesn't know that.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
It makes
does.
It better if he knows his friend is a dick to him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm
couple
aware
of Foggies over here.
I'm aware that you're a dick to me. I think we're still here.
Yes, and I'm aware of just how kind you've always been to me. I've never been punched by a person I still see.
This title is very delightful, very fun. Definitely pick it up. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to move on to my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
Except for that, you have to ask a question either for our amazing guest, Drew, or for all of us, and you're going to have some free comics courtesy Pete. Ooh, I see this man's hand up real quick. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, my tie is my symbiote.
Oh, nice. That nice. Checks out. Nice. That checks, checks out, Kevin.
Probably better than the taint.
Yeah.
No one's going to disagree with that.
Now, of course, going off Foggy in this book, what are some characters who you think really came into their own when they were in a book other than their main one?
Ooh, nice. Ooh, good one.
Interesting.
Who branched out and went on their own to find themselves.
This is a little bit of a cheat, but I always really enjoyed in the 80s and 90s when Rick Jones was everywhere.
I was going to say Rick Jones. Oh, man, you never get me.
But I love that. I love that he started the Hulk book and he became everybody's sidekick one after the other. You actually got to see him grow and change as a character, but he always stayed very grounded, and I was very bummed when they amped him up to actual superhero, even beyond being superhero sidekick, because I feel like it defeated some of the joy that I had in reading the character.
Yeah, especially because he was like rock star, sidekick, like failure, and now he's a superpowered like Beetle.
Right. I mean, there's different stuff going on with him in Immortal Hulk right now that's pretty
that's
effed up.
That's true.
But yeah, that's my answer. Pete?
I know.
I'm going to say Amadeus Cho. It started off with like him and Hercules were like a great duo. And, you know, then he kind of got to be the Hulk and grow and use in different ways. And I think it's cool to see like him just instead of being a smart kid, now he's his own superhero.
Mm. That's good.
Do you have one, Drew?
Damian Wayne.
Oh.
Who nice. Didn't quite leave, I guess, he never really had a main book, but I remember when he first showed up in Batman and Son, people hated that character.
Yeah.
Like, for years, people... like
he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, I mean, he was a piece of shit, but...
But
they hated him, and now he's, like, you try and mess around with that character at all, people freak out.
He's beloved.
Yeah. Sounds like you're talking from personal experience over there.
Yeah. I just like that he's got a giant Great Dane that he runs around with. And a cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got lots of animals. Great question. You're going to get some free comics. Do we have another question? Ooh, I see one right here.
Nice. Great.
Can you come on up? What is your name? What is your question?
It's Gabe, and I know that Pete hates Hoxpox, but... out of curiosity, who would you like to see lead the X-Men, given that it's been leaked that, you know, the 12 are out?
Ooh. Yes. Cool shirt, by the way.
Yeah, very cool, cool shirt. So in House of X, Powers of 10, the ongoing comic that's wrapping up actually very soon and then going into the ongoing X-Men comic, who would you like to see lead the X-Men in the future?
I mean, if you, and you said that the 12 are the people who are sort of...
They got leaked.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But
let's...
We won't talk about that. So we're talking more about people leading in the different teams and whatnot. I mean, I think it's time for Cyclops, a Cyclops renaissance. He needs to come back, and he's been sort of...
I hate how you looked at me when you said
did
that.
Did you see that? I looked all the way into your brain.
Yeah.
It was, and what I put... I
stop
put,
doing
I put something in there.
I'm uncomfortable watching that.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You
like
only
like because of the women.
Yeah.
But otherwise lame. Down.
Is that misogynistic or is that like I can't figure it out? Oh, okay. Yeah. the women are in charge. Cyclops is just the arm candy to this whole thing. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Eye candy at the very least.
One eye candy.
Thanks. You see what you
thanks yeah. I'll see you all later.
Okay, yeah. When you get a burn in, you leave. That's the rule. I think it's time for Cyclops to get into it.
I'm going to say Beast.
Any follow-up there? Or just
this isn't a trivia question. It's sort of a show your work situation.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, man. Like, he's been evil. He's been a lot of things, but he's just so smart. I like to see him kind of put his brain where, you know, and see what he could do strategically. With the X-Men.
I feel like Beast never really paid a price for fucking up time.
Yeah, not really.
No one was ever like, hey, dude, why
well,
did you
I think
do
a
that?
Lot of people were like that. They're like, I wish you hadn't done that. And he was like, yeah, well, I did.
He was sort of a dick about it.
Yeah.
You think Cyclops would be like, hey, man, stop bringing...
I'm the dick on the team. You can't go around being a dick. That's my job.
Can't have two dicks.
Again.
Wow. Wow.
I'll disagree
with
you,
did the
sir.
Smile on your face when you said that? It was super creepy.
Wait until you meet that guy's symbiote.
What do you think, Alex?
I would say Storm, actually, is the one that I would pick. I
think,
but
she's led, though.
Oh, I don't think it needs to be somebody who's never led before, right? Storm, she's already kind of been set up like that. She was doing the announcement of the mutants a couple of issues back.
Yeah.
And she's a character that is so good and so beloved, but it really does feel like she's been floundering for a very long time. People haven't quite figured out what to do with her or how to give her new stories or new impetus. And I think putting her back in a leadership role might do that.
Cool. Well, I feel like because she has sort of the goddess status, we don't see her like relating to other characters as much, and I think that's a real shame. Like, I want to hear more about like Storm's hobbies and things like that, so that we can develop her a little bit, and she can be more of a person that you can lean in on that.
Yeah, like really show us her hobbies.
Well, like
is
I
doing
really mean
woodworking.
That. Well, I really
is
mean that. Like
collecting
details,
troll dolls.
Details about her character.
Yes,
like right Wolverine likes beer.
Yeah,
that's his a hobby.
Yes. Okay.
Right now she's just a hype man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she very much is. What would you like to see? Who would you like to see lead the X-Men?
I want
to
see the Sentinels run the show.
Oh,
the
man.
Sentinels.
That's dark.
Wait,
bro.
Our show?
That's well, dark. You know,
we're not mutants.
Honestly, House of X is the first time I've come back to X-Men in years and actually like enjoyed it. So I personally am not in any qualified position to make any determination about anything, but for shits and giggles, I'll say Jubilee, because why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Sparklers!
Yeah, bring her back.
I really like, there's a book from like maybe 4 or 5 months ago where Havoc was leading his own team, and it was like a sort of not necessarily the Justice League style, like team of fuck-up X-Men. I thought that was really great and fun, and I'm sad it is gone.
Yeah, I do wonder if now that everything is so big and serious, if there's going to be room for those sort of titles.
Yeah.
I hope so. I think so. Once we branch out into all of the other titles, there's going to be different tones.
It feels that way. I mean, Marauders feels like it's not going to be crazy serious. They're like pirates.
Yeah, there you go. Pirates are never serious.
Pirates are fun.
They're just fun.
They sing songs.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Somalia, just like just off the coast there?
Oh, my God.
Pirates are delightful.
What just happened?
Yeah, they just
they chew on cod all day and go nuts. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a good time. I saw a hand shoot up here. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm recovering from a cold. I don't want to go.
No, Alex can be sick.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So my name is Brandon Medina, and you mentioned before Spider-Man is like, oh, yeah, if I just hadn't brought back that new suit to sell toys, think of how much easier my life would have been for the past 2 or 3 decades. Was there any other moments in comics, like looking back, it's like, oh yeah, if it just wasn't that one thing, like things yeah. would be differently. Yeah. Do you have it? Are there any others like that for you guys?
Yeah.
And also, which symbiotes do you wear when walking down the red carpet at the podcast awards?
Oh, nice. Ooh,
great really? Great question. Great question.
Whichever one eats Ellen.
Oh. Wow. I would wear a red symbiote to match the carpet.
Oh. So you just faded?
Exactly. I don't want to answer all those questions.
What's that floating face guy?
Yeah. No, I'm all red.
I would go with Venom just because, you know, it's kind of like a tux. You know, it's black and white.
Nice. Yeah. Great.
What are you wearing?
Right, Venom. That's why they say, who are you wearing? They mean symbiotes.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
Right. Nobody's ever answered that question correctly.
They're lying to us.
They're lying to us.
Yeah. What was the other part of the question?
No, that was the only part. No, it was a universe-changing thing, like a symbiote, something that seemed kind of small that maybe ballooned out of control in a certain way.
Okay. All right.
I do think maybe this isn't exactly what you're talking about, but the way that DC has become so navel-gazing about their crises is a little frustrating. Like, I think people have written some very good stories about it, but the fact that they've been like, every single time we get to some sort of crisis now, they're like, oh, this crisis explains all of the previous crises. And then we get to the next one, and they're like, nope, this one. And this is why we keep rebooting our universe. And I almost wish they'd just be like, just do it. Like, just get past it. Just do it. Do whatever you want. We realize we are reading comic books. You can just pull off the bandit
over here. Just do it.
I think.
Do it.
I think multiverses in general, in both Marvel and DC, it's like, okay, we get it. There's other like versions of everyone. Like, I think we should all just move away from that for a little while and get back to just telling.
Oh, you're not moving away from it. Marvel is leaning in hard.
Everybody's leaning into it. But I think I'm ready to take a break.
Yeah.
I just want one universe, like ours.
Luckily, if you read Kanto, there is no multiverse in it. So,
What about the Kantoverse? into the Kantoverse.
Yeah, absolutely not. I have no interest in trying to figure out how to redesign that character. It'll just be a fight.
Nah, nice.
Yeah. Do we have any other answers, Pete?
Well, it's just all stuff that, you know, we've heard before where it's like, you know, it would have been nice if, you know, Nick Spencer didn't do that whole Hydra Cap thing. That would have been great, you know.
But has it really ruined it for you from now on?
For a while, yeah.
It's not,
sure did.
If you've been reading the Captain America series right now, they're sort of dealing with that in an interesting way where he is, Steve Rogers is having to, he's seen as a villain. It's him confronting that and trying to fix that in a cool way.
Yeah, and just think about we could have been doing something else that could have been better, you know.
Okay, I guess. For once, we disagree.
I also think like that whole Superman thing kind of spiraled out of control, how they introduced a superhero character, and now there's all these superhero characters.
Yeah.
It just feels like...
We could have gone back and had him just be the same speed as a speeding bullet, wow. And just like able to just leap up to a stair.
leap a foot in the air.
Yeah.
And they get real tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes twist your ankle.
That
Oh, man.
Leap one stair and sometimes twist his ankle. Slower than his speeding bullet.
He's regular man.
Is Superman Union?
Union?
Yeah, that sounds like a union job. I can only jump up one stair, twist my ankle. Yeah.
He's a Teamster.
The Daily Planet. That would be great, actually, if Superman was under union rules and he's in the middle of a fight. He's like,
that
nah,
would be
sorry,
awesome.
This is my,
I would actually
break time.
Read that book.
Yeah. Great question, and that is it for your audience questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it is time for trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right.
Pete LePage.
Don't do it.
Step
Don't
down to the
do it, Justin.
Front of the stage.
Wow. All right.
Pete LePage, your turn.
Thanks. Well, this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you in the back. You come on down.
Surprise.
You
Twist.
Had your hand up earlier for audience questions, and because of the lighting, maybe we didn't see you, so I'm glad we got you here.
Well, that's why you have to be in the lights like the star of trivia himself, Mr. Peter Page.
Just one time.
Huh?
Just one time.
When a famous person walks into a room, people talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that. All right, so today's trivia is on topical comic news. I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right, $25 yours. Here we go. Question number one. The Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles team up went so well, they're doing another one. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and blank.
Power Rangers.
Mother.
Yes.
I explained we got to do the whole
preview comes out on Thursday at New York Comic Con.
Wow. Sweet. We have a new star of trivia.
The star is the audience. That's the whole point of trivia. We pull an audience member down.
They're the star?
Yeah.
And you're the star? There's two stars?
I'm not the star of trivia.
How many stars are there? Is everyone a star? They're both stars. Am I a star?
No.
I'm the only one who's not a star.
Exactly.
Fuck. That's how I'll announce it then.
Great.
Please on the stage, Justin, the not the star of trivia.
This is a fun tangent.
Well, I was trying to fill the gap since he totally undercut whatever fun stuff you were going to say.
Yeah, exactly. Question number two. Speaking of more team-ups, Archie Meets has been popular. Who is next? Archie Meets blank. Is it A, Metallica, B, B-52s, or C, Gary Busey? So it's either A, B, or C.
No hint.
I'm not going to give you a hint, Hot Shot, because you talked so much shit off the first one.
It can't be Metallica, so it has to be B-52.
You are correct,
nice.
Sir.
Nice.
Logic.
You reasoned it out.
Yeah, can I just say how much I would enjoy Archie Meets Gary Busey? Because I'm pretty sure Gary Busey would just like bite his head off.
Yeah, it would be magical.
That'd be awesome.
All right, here we go. Last one. Who is winning a Guinness World Record for longest-running creator-owned superhero comic at the New York Comic Con?
Oh, it's Todd McFarlane for 301.
That is correct.
Yes! Oh, we got shut down!
Yeah.
We got shut down.
$25 for you, sir.
This is going to be
He is so upset right now.
Yeah, I was going to give him a hint and tell him, spoiler alert, the guy thinks very highly of himself.
It would be an eliminating factor. Let me throw this out there. The only clue that you have to guess the movie is Gary Busey. So I will say, there's a limit.
Yes.
Not
so Pete has a sub-quiz that he puts in his third answers. All we have is Gary Busey. Kevin, do you know what it is based on Gary Busey?
There's only so many things
Kevin.
He's
I'll
ever done.
I'll give you a hint. It's a movie that has sports in it.
Gary Busey and sports? Sign me up.
Rookie of the Year!
Holy shit, Gary Busey isn't Rookie of the Year, is he? Oh, I know what I'm doing when I go home.
Not deterred by his forehead mockery, Alex dances his way out of trivia.
Oh, boy. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, besides Punisher number 16, I'm also looking for Deceased number 5 of 6.
Mm. Wow, you snuck a whole second one in there.
Yep.
Yeah, anything you want to say about either of those titles?
Obviously, Punisher is amazing, but I've been really impressed with Deceased. It's been kind of an emotional, crazy fucking roller coaster.
Yeah, they've been killing off the DC universe with this virus. It's zombie-esque. It's pretty bleak.
Pretty bleak. I'm looking forward to House of X number 6. I cannot pick that. It's just so exciting to see all of the groundwork being laid for the future of the X-Men, and there's so much happening. It's very good.
We'll have a review of that in our Stack podcast, which rolls out in the Comic Book Club live feed as well as its own feed Wednesdays at 9 a.m. I'm looking forward to Ghost Rider number 1 is coming out from Marvel Comics. It's art by Aaron Cooter, who is amazing. He is one of my favorite artists working right now. So very excited to see him on Ghost Rider. Drew, plug your stuff again. What should people be checking out?
You should be going to find Canto number 5 tomorrow. I went by Midtown in Times Square earlier. They have a nice huge stack of Canto number 4 if you haven't caught up. And reprints of issues 1, 2, and 3 are floating around in other shops around the city. So if you want to get in on everything, feel free. If not, screw you.
it is, laid out.
If you can't find it, though, at the show, we will have copies of all issues up to number 5. So you can kind of hop on the bandwagon that everybody else has been talking about.
Cool. And of course, you can check you out on social media at
Drew Zucker Art at Instagram. Yes, I got it.
You got one of the two. Okay, we'll move on.
That's close enough. And Drew underscore Zucker on Twitter.
Or,
look at that. We're like computers for stupid shit.
Or DrewZuckerArt.com.
Nice.
All right. Hey, there we go. Definitely check out all of that. A couple of things we want to plug before we go. We have another show coming up this week, y'all.
Yeah.
We are doing a show Thursday night as a New York Comic Con kickoff at Caveat at 9:30 p.m.
Doors open at 9.
Is that right?
Yes.
We have two guests on the show. One of them is Dottie Cates, the writer of Absolute Carnage, Guardians of the Galaxy, Silver Surfer Black. And the other one is Judah Friedlander, who you probably know from 30 Rock and many, many other things. So that should be a good, fun time.
It's going to be, go ahead. It's going to be great. Judah's going to do a stand-up set and then join the panel. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah, and it's a little cheaper if you get tickets in advance. You can head to our website, which has the information, comicbookclublive.com, or is it caveat.nyc?
Caveatnyc.com, yeah.
Okay, there we go. So check those out. Also, we have a couple of other podcasts that we do. We have Watchmen Watch, which is our Watchmen podcast currently running on. Right now, we are recapping issues of the comic twice a week. We are revisiting those leading up to the HBO show, which is premiering on October 20th, which we'll be recapping and talking about as well. So that's Watchmen Watch once again. Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, coming back next week. Oh man, I'm not ready. With a real fun, real serious episode.
we're going to really have some fun with that one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be very exciting to bring that podcast back, though. Also, you can support us at patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of fun bonuses you can check out there. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. You can subscribe and comment on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Android, or the app of your choice. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Drew for being on the show.
Thank you, guys.
We are here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. totally free from my forehead to yours. Good night.
Good night, everybody.